First Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin in verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. As we are gradually working our way through 1 Thessalonians, I keep finding new and different pieces in there that I want to talk about. It's amazing how much gets crammed into very small bits of Scripture. So I'm going to turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? That is, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Now, Paul writes here a bunch of stuff where he's talking about salvation, and he's leading into a little bit of discussion about Israel and their failure to listen. I think there's an interesting little parallel here between Romans 10 and 1 Thessalonians 2, because in both places he talks a little bit about the presentation of the gospel, and then he talks about Israel. But the thing that is really going on that I wanted us to focus on is the fact that the gospel gets preached, and I'm going to set aside for the purpose of most of this discussion the fact that the real work in salvation is done by the Holy Spirit. God does the saving through His Spirit working in us. It's not because somebody preached a great sermon. It's not because someone sat down across the table and explained the gospel that someone is saved. They're saved because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have a responsibility and a commandment to do those things. And exactly how all of that works together, I don't know. I do know that God tells us that we are to preach the gospel. And Paul tells us that how can they believe if nobody tells them? How can they understand if it's not preached? So we have that responsibility. And we're going to act on the basis of that is our task, is to share the gospel, to make sure that the word of God is heard by those who haven't heard it. But one of the things that's an important aspect of that is that he says in here, you know, How can they hear, or how can they believe if they haven't heard? Now, hearing is an important piece in this whole thing. We think about telling the gospel, teaching the word, that those are the sides that we tend to really focus on, is what do we do to communicate the gospel message? But the truth is that you have to hear it before you can believe it. And hearing is a little bit more complicated thing in that. Now, one of the things that if you look through the New Testament and you look at the way that the gospel is presented and the way that people are led to Christ, you've got a lot of people who just get this very basic hint of who Jesus is, and they immediately want to receive Christ. But more often, you get cases like the Ethiopian eunuch who wants to understand what he's reading in Scripture. And it gets it explained to him in great detail. Well, once he understands, then he believes. And so it's not merely the simple case of you know, here's Jesus, you'll say hi, but you have to explain, you have to understand. That understanding is a critical piece of this. So when we talk about hearing the word, it goes beyond that simple letting the words roll past you, letting something, as I was always told as a kid, letting it go in one ear and out the other. It's got to actually say something on the way. And that's really the whole point in there in Romans 10:18, when he starts talking about all the stuff that the Israelites had heard, because he talks about the fact that Moses spoke to them, Isaiah spoke to them, and they still didn't get it. They had all the prophets, they had all of these different people who gave them the truth about the Messiah, and they didn't put it together. And when Jesus came, they didn't understand. So, as we think about how do we hear the message, that's the critical component in receiving Christ. That's the critical component in how we become mature Christians, is that we hear the word in a way that it actually has an impact on us. Now, communication is an interesting thing, and I have studied too much communication, and it's one of those little things that just fascinates me, how we communicate and how we fail to communicate. And when you think of communication between people, I have an idea. And communication begins in your brain. Okay? I have an idea. And I want to get that idea to somebody else over here. Now, there's a lot of different ways that I can get that from there to here. That's communication, is getting it from there to here. And how we do that is this whole study of human communication. And linguists and such like have a set of terms that they like to use. And basically, the key idea here is that the person who has an idea encodes it, is the term. He puts it into some kind of a code, which is then transmitted over to the person on the other side who takes it and decodes it. So this encoding and decoding process is what is taking place in communication. Now, it doesn't really matter what those mechanisms are. Now, this could be speaking. It could be written. It could be interpretive dance, and I'm not going to demonstrate. All of these are intended to be ways of communicating an idea from my mind to somebody else's mind. The problem is that there's a lot of places that this can break down. First of all, is that I can poorly encode it. In other words, I can poorly understand what I am trying to communicate and not put it into a code correctly. So my code doesn't actually represent the real idea. So it's flawed at the beginning. I'm real good at this, saying stuff and it comes out really scrambled. Okay, fortunately most people who know me kind of take me for what I mean, not what I say. You can scramble the encoding. Then there's that transmission process, is that things can interfere in that transmission process. You know, just like if you're listening to the radio and they're giving you an important news bulletin and there's something really important, you ever notice that you always get static on the radio right when the most important thing is? You can have things that interrupt that communication where it's in transmission. All sorts of ways that can get fouled up. And then the person who's receiving it, they may not receive it cleanly. And so it may have been transmitted, it may get here correctly, they may not receive it correctly. And so they receive something that isn't actually what was sent, because somewhere on their side they didn't hear it right. And I'll use hearing because this is a real easy one. Most of us as kids and maybe as adults have played the telephone game. I was going to say race a rumor, but that was a different game we played in college. where you have, and I whisper something to Barb and she whispers it to the next person and they whisper it to the next person and it goes all the way around the room. And when it comes back, the last person has to stand up and say what they heard. And I will guarantee that 999 times out of 1,000, it bears no resemblance whatsoever to what started, because you don't hear it correctly. You miss something because you're whispering and there was background noise, whatever. So that's that step there where it gets fouled up. And then there is the decoding process. And here's where we really think about listening, is that you've got a message here in hand, and now you want to turn that from the symbolism of the communication protocol, whether that's words on paper, whether that's spoken words, whether that's the motions of my interpretive dance here. Whatever it is, I'm going to translate those things into a concept in my brain. Now, one of the great things about language and spoken written language is wonderful in the fact that it gives us the ability to express very, very complicated things very clearly. But we still take those things and we have the ability to not get it translated into our brain correctly because we don't decode the message properly. Now, if it wasn't encoded right, we might decode it perfectly, but we still don't get the message. See, all the way along, there's a lot of places where this can get damaged. When the gospel is preached, when the gospel is told, and I'm using that term preach just because it has a nice poetic ring to it, but that applies just as much if you're sitting down across the table with a friend and trying to explain to them what is the hope that you have in Christ. That's preaching the gospel. You're in this. Is that we have to explain it in a way that it can get to the other person and they can decode it in a way they can understand it. And so, if we're going to encode something properly, the very first thing we have to do is we have to understand what we are encoding. Okay, so we're back to this whole thing that goes on that I've talked about so many times. We have to know the Word of God. We have to understand God's message. So first we have to be those hearers and learners and disciples and everything before we're really able to adequately express it. Once we know what we're talking about, then we can encode it. But it's important stuff. Somebody a long time ago, when I was first getting started in ministry, asked me something about what made preaching or why preaching was hard or something. And I think I had commented that preaching is my favorite part of ministry, just because I like to talk. But it's hard work. And one of the reasons why standing up and doing this is hard work is because it matters. the accuracy, the fidelity of what I am communicating matters. If I try to explain to you the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so that you can have eternal life, I need to get that right because it matters. I'm not telling you, you know, how to make a good pumpkin pie. I can tell you that too, incidentally. But this matters for all eternity. That pie only matters until about 10 minutes after I get a fork in it. This matters. And so the requirement to encode it well is important. That's the first big thing is we've got to be able to communicate that well and get that into the communication system. When Paul brought the gospel to Thessalonica, he came in and he went to the synagogue. This was his pattern. One of the reasons he went to the synagogue is because it simplified the process of communicating the gospel. Because when we're over here in this hearing side of things, we are able to decode things better if we understand the background and the context and the sense of what's going on. Have you ever sat in a doctor's office while they're trying to explain something to you and they're using words that just mean nothing to you? And no matter how hard you listen to them, it's just noise. It means nothing. Well, there's the problem of not having a context for communication. When Paul goes into the synagogue, they've got the context. They know the prophets. They know the law. They know who God is. They understand the idea of the Messiah. They've got all of this stuff that they've learned over the years. And so they're primed and they're easy to reach. They're easy to communicate to. But then comes the real problem is that he communicates it to them and a lot of them ignore it. A lot of them reject it. They refuse to listen to it. And so, there in verse 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Now, as I was reading through this, I was caught by that word here. It says, when you received the word. And I got thinking about, you know, what does this really mean? What's the real sense in all of this? And it works out that as I studied this more and more, that I kind of had this sort of flip-flopped. Because I was thinking of received as this very intricate receiving process on the downside of the communication, that you received the word, you took it in and you processed all that. That's not actually what it means. This is received here is simply you got it, you heard it. It was said. But he goes on and he says, you welcomed it. Well, There's your fun word. There's the word that I really want, is that word welcomed. Because when he talks about welcoming it, there's the idea of accepting it as true, allowing it to act on them. You know, welcoming it is actually putting it into you and processing it and doing something with it. Now, this is an idea that comes up time after time in Scripture. And I'm going to take us to Luke, because Jesus says something here that is a phrase that he repeats a whole bunch of times, but it's a good one for us to think about. Okay, so I'm in Luke chapter 8, and he's telling the parable of the soils, and he talks about the sower went out to sow and all of this, and you know, and in verse 8 he says, "But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, that's a really neat phrase because he bundles so much stuff into that. Because it's not just physically having ears to hear. It's not just talking about if you got a, these flappy things on the side of your head, you hear this. He's saying, if you have ears, you who have those ears on the sides of your head, he says, you have them. Use them. Listen to this. Take the whole thing in. Absorb it all. Think about it. Understand it. When he says, you have ears to hear, let him hear. He says, take it in and process it and accept it and understand. That's the critical part of listening, is that you actually take it in and absorb it, and it says something to you. Because what we've gotten in our communication process is we can get that into the ears and we can get it decoded and everything, but that final step is to actually put it in the brain. And sometimes that's where we stop. Is we hear the words, we understand the words, we understand the message, but it doesn't say anything to us. It doesn't move us. It doesn't have anything that actually acts on our heart and changes us. I'm going to take us way back here because I'm going to go back to 1 Kings. Now in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is becoming king, replacing David. And in chapter 3, verse 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Now, your Bible probably has understanding heart. That's the more common way that that's translated. But the literal Hebrew is a hearing heart, a listening heart. Give me the ability to truly listen, because only in truly listening will I be able to truly serve you and serve these people. Solomon had a lot of problems as time went on, but he fully understood that he had to be able to take in and process and make sense of these things that were going on around him. That listening heart, that's going beyond just listening with my ears. It's really hearing it inside of me, getting the message. This is what's going on when we hear the gospel, is that we can't just hear the words. We can't just let those words rattle by. But we have to actually let them work in us. We continue as we grow in Christ. We are looking at the words of God. We hear the word of God over and over again. We read the Bible. We hear sermons. We hear all of this stuff from God. But we can't just let those words go in one ear and out the other, and plugging one ear won't really help you. We have to welcome it. We have to accept it. We have to accept it as what it really is, the true Word of God, something which is spoken with the weight of the Almighty Creator behind it. Look at what Paul wrote there in 1 Thessalonians 2, because he says, "When you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." They understood that this was coming from God. And because it was coming from God, they listened to it with great intensity. They were very focused on making sure that they understood what God was saying to them. And because they understood what God was saying to them, they were able then to receive Christ. They were able then to establish themselves so that they could withstand those who did not hear. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff here, and we'll probably talk about this some more next week. But he talks about the Jews who were persecuting the Christians there in Thessalonica. And he says, you became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. Now, here's the real thing, is that he's making what sounds like some really harsh judgments on the Jews. And yeah, he is. But his real focus in this is that they are preventing the gospel from being heard. They're telling the Christians, you can't talk about this stuff to the Gentiles. You can't tell them the secrets of God. They're not in the inner circle. They're not part of us. This was the same thing he had to deal with the Galatian churches, is that they had the Jews coming and saying, well, you've got to be a Jew before you can become a Christian. You've got to follow the law. You've got to do all of these things under the law before you are able to be a Christian and follow Jesus. This comes first, then that. And Paul's saying, no, it's through Jesus. He's the one who saves. The law, all of that stuff points to Jesus. But Jesus saves, not the law. And Paul's criticism of the Jews here, these ones who are persecuting the church in Thessalonica, he says they're contrary to all men. They're hostile. They're creating a state of hostility here because they are not allowing us to reach out with the gospel. That this is where they have plugged their ears. They won't hear the gospel, and they don't want anybody else to hear it as well. And so the gospel that is being preached can only be effective if it's being heard. Now, the church in Thessalonica reached out. That's part of their characteristic, is that as they were persecuted, they spread out. Well, that was kind of the pattern. Now, if you think about it, back in Judea, where the Christians were a very small minority in a Jewish majority, that they went under very harsh persecution. Remember, Paul was part of that. He was rounding them up and killing them. This was extremely hard on those churches. Well, what did those churches do? Is they went out. They spread out to other communities. They left Jerusalem and they went north. They went up into Syria. They went up into Asia Minor. They spread throughout these areas. And as they went, they spread the gospel. Well, that's exactly what happens here, is the church in Thessalonica is under pressure and the people go and they spread the gospel to the areas around them. They become a witness as they're persecuted. They're told, don't let anybody listen to what you say. But they take it out and they spread it and it grows. And Paul says that those who are preventing the gospel from being heard, those who don't want it heard, he says that they are subject to wrath. He says, fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. That God will bring judgment on them for preventing the word from being heard. How do we avoid God's wrath? Well, these people are running into God's wrath because they're not listening to God's word. We can't stop listening once we receive Christ. We continue to need to listen to what God says, because He doesn't stop communicating with us once we receive Him and once we're saved. If we want to be on the right side of God, we need to be listening to His Word. We need to be constantly trying to understand the message that He is giving us and understand how that message should go out from us. And as we take that message in, as we understand it, as we process that, then we need to be able to put that into words. We need to be able to encode it, and we need to be able to transmit it to others. This is the Great Commission. You know, go make disciples. Make learners of all people. We're told to be learners who make learners. As we learn, we communicate that, we encode it, we get it there, and we communicate that across. And here's where the process of these churches, and he talks about the character of the church here, that their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope, that they worked in love, that they showed their love for Christ and their love for one another and their love for God by reaching out with the gospel. And part of that is that they nurtured those that they were teaching. They build them up. They train them. They turn them into mature followers of Christ. They don't just finish with that first quick word and a nod of acceptance. And we're in that same position, that we should be putting the word out. We should be communicating it to people. And as they receive it, that we should be following that with building them up, that we continue to increase their understanding. Because we often are dealing with a world where people don't have the context. You know, Paul went to the synagogue first because they had the context, but when he went out to the rest of the Greeks around there, none of them knew anything about God. They didn't, they were just worshiping all sorts of strange pagan things. He's starting from ground zero explaining all of this to them. Sometimes we're in that same position. And as we explain the truth of Christ, we need to be able to invest in that, to follow up with that, to build up. It's one of the roles of the church. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that one of the purposes of the church, the defining characteristics of the church, is the teaching of the Word of God. That we do that in order to build people up as they hear and receive and welcome that word, that they take it into themselves and make it something that actually works in them. Then the Holy Spirit works with that and builds them into Christians who are able to do God's work. One of the real failures in the church, and I'm going to wrap this up. This was a quote that showed up on my Facebook here from Elizabeth Elliot. It says, "We must quit bending the word to suit our situation. It is we who must be bent to that word." Which has a lot of implications, but one of the things that I thought of in that is that we have to hear it clearly. We have to be willing to listen to what God has said. When Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Do we have ears to hear what God is really saying when He speaks to us in His Word? Let's listen with God's ears. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, You have given us so many messages. You have spoken to us in so many ways. Over the course of time, You have sent prophets and angels and so many different signs and things to communicate Your truth to us. And Lord, I pray that You will open up our ears. Let us truly hear what You have to say to us. Just give us the right heart, that we would have a hearing heart, that we can hear You speak and understand, that we can take that in, And let it work in us. Let your Spirit work in us through these things that we hear, that we would be able to follow you, to serve you, to teach you to the world around us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.